Before we take a look at today's scripture, I want to give you a little bit of background about what we're going to be reading. This story takes place 2 days before Jesus' crucifixion. He's sitting at the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and they're having a very intimate, private conversation. And in this conversation, his disciples ask him, "What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And when will this happen?" And so Jesus starts by describing the end of the age, and then he goes into these three parables. And the first is the parable of the 10 virgins and the oil. And before he talks about these parables are basically telling us how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to be living, and how we're supposed to be doing while we wait for Jesus. So in this first parable of the 10 virgins, we're told that we're supposed to persevere in keeping watch. We're supposed to keep watching for Jesus. In the second parable, which is the parable of the talents and the gold bags, we're told that we're supposed to invest our gifts and our resources here on earth in ways that bring about an increase. And then the third parable is today's story, which is the story of the sheep and the goats, which reminds us that we need to meet other people's needs while we're waiting for Christ's return. So in other words, our goal during this time of waiting is to be faithful and wise servants. So let us take a moment to pray, and then we'll look at today's scripture. Gracious and loving God, we come in this space of silence and music to listen to you, to hear from you, and to worship you. As we read your word, we ask that your spirit will give us understanding and insight that we might know how to apply it to our own lives. And as a church, we might be able to apply your word and how we live and we be your body. God, this time is yours, and we come in thanksgiving. In Christ's name, amen. So reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter. You'll notice in your bulletin you can either read the scripture, or there's actually on the back of the Advent calendar, there's actually a diagram of the scripture. I'm a visual learner, and so that's one thing I do when I'm trying to process scriptures. I sometimes will draw art or kind of rearrange the words so that I can visualize them. So you're welcome to look at that visualization instead of looking at the scripture. It contains the same passage. It's just ordered in a different way. So this is starting with verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you,
Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. May God bless the reading of this word.
So I have a story to share with you today, and it's a story that's mostly true. There's a little bit of embellishments to protect the names of the innocent. But it's a story about this couple, Tim and Mary. And they're your average couple. They're in their 70s, both retired. Tim's health is ailing, and so his wife, Mary, has become his caregiver. And Tim, I apologize. I wasn't even thinking your name when I came up with the name. So any name resemblance is unintended.
I'm not quite 70
yet. Yeah, I know that. I know that. So anyways, and I was like, there's Tim Wise and Mary Wise. I was unconscious. Anyway, so Tim and Mary, they're in their 70s. They're living your average retired life. They occasionally go out with friends to eat a meal together. They have their children over and grandkids once a month for a Sunday dinner. They just had Thanksgiving with their great-grandkids and grandkids. Just your regular couple. They go to church on Sundays, and they live life well. Well, anyways, Tim and Mary were out doing something, and they noticed this homeless man that was living out. It was obvious he was living out of his truck. And they recognized him, and they realized that this man was a friend of theirs' son. And they approached him, and they're like, "Are you living out of your truck?" And he was a little bashful, and he said, "Yes, he was." "And are you working anywhere?" And he shared that he was working, but he had this minimum wage job, and he was in a bad place. And they thought, you know, this friend who's now deceased, you know, her son can't be living on the streets. This is just not acceptable. So Tim and Mary invited him to come into their home. And so he moved in, and the original arrangement was that he would pay them $100 or $200 a month to help with food and bills and things like that, but he never paid them. And while he was living with them, they soon noticed he had a lot of medical needs. And he wasn't getting the proper medical care. He wasn't taking his medications. He wasn't seeing the doctor. So next thing they knew, they were taking him to the doctor, and they were helping him with his medical bills. And soon he lost his job. So he didn't even have that minimum wage income coming in. And so he just started sitting around the house, and he was really depressed. And they kept caring for him, and they provided meals for him. And he ate more than he probably should have, but they provided for him. Next thing I know, they have bed bugs in their house. So they have to pay for somebody to come and clean out the house from bed bugs. But they keep caring for him, and they keep loving him because this was a friend of their son, and he's homeless, and he's in a bad place. Well, we know how adult children and adult grandchildren don't necessarily like this, right? They see their grandparents are being taken advantage of. There's this man that's at family holidays that isn't participating. He's not helping out. They see he's taken advantage of their grandma who's already caring for their grandpa. Their adult children have conversations about how are we going to get this man out of this house? What are we going to do? But when they talk to Tim and Mary say, this is our Christian duty. This is what we do as Christians. We care for each other, and he's our sister's son. We must take care of him. But meanwhile, the adult children are saying, this isn't acceptable. You guys, you know, you're in retirement. You're living off your retirement income. This is not appropriate. One day, this man, George, becomes sick enough that Tim and Mary decide that they're going to call an ambulance. So the ambulance comes and takes him, and off they go to the hospital. And that's the last they hear of George, because they're not family. They don't get to go and make those visits to the hospital. They don't get to make the decisions. They don't even know where the ambulance took him. So they wait, and his truck sits in their yard, and they wait, and they haven't heard anything, and they haven't heard anything until they read his obituary. So his obituary comes out, and they're able. So their adult kids and grandkids read this obituary, and they're kind of blown away by it. It's a very lengthy obituary. It mentions a wife and some children. It mentions that this person was on staff at a church, or had been, and had actually been a leader in the community. This person had done a lot of volunteer work and had done many things that were a shock. to this family. And when they went to the funeral, the place was overflowing with people. And people would get up and share stories about the difference this person made in their lives. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." When we read this passage, we discover that it is telling us that at some point Jesus will judge us. And he will judge whether or not we showed love or compassion for others. Did we show love and compassion to the least of these? And if we think, if that's the standard of judgment, did we show love and compassion to the least of these, then the question becomes, doesn't that infer showing love and compassion to everyone, even those we don't consider the least of these? See, the greatest commandment of the Bible is the commandment to love. We're to love God, we're to love ourselves, and we're supposed to love each other. And the reason that God can judge us on this is because when Christ comes into our lives, he transforms us and he changes us and he gives us his love to give. He implants his love so we might overflow with that love from our faith-filled relationship with God. See, when we genuinely love God, we also genuinely love those who will bear the image of God. Those who are humans, we all carry the image of God. So when we love God, the overflow of our love for God is our love for other human beings. But as I say that and I read this passage, I have to tell you, I'm convicted. I identify with the adult children in this story. I get that. I'm the one saying, "Grandma, Grandpa, what are you doing?" And so I read this passage and I say, what if I'm the one that's not showing love? What if I'm the goat in the story? So then I read this passage from Titus. It's Titus 3, 3 through 8. And it says this following. "At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone." That is love that we desire to have. That love is rekindled when we recognize the mercy that God has shown us. So if you're in a place in your life where you are realizing you're having trouble loving others, the place to start is to come to God and recognize the mercy he has shown you. And we recognize the mercy that God has shown us. It helps us to love God more. It helps the love to overflow from us and to receive that love so that we can love one another. It talks in this passage that Jesus has this generous, justifying grace. A generous, justifying grace. And that we overflow with the refreshing of the Holy Spirit when we receive God. And that we're adopted in the family of God. So we feel like we are the goats, and we want to be more those sheep. We can recognize once again God's generous gift of mercy and God's love for us. And when we fall back in love with God, that love for others will overflow. I want to share this from 1 John 4, 7 through 11. And if you're looking for a book to read in the Bible that's short and just powerful. 1 John is a very powerful book, just to sit down and read. But 7 through 11 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So, the next time you meet someone who is hungry, remember how God has spiritually fed you. Give them something to eat. The next time you meet someone who is thirsty, remember that you've drank from the fountain of life, Jesus Christ. Give them something to drink. Next time you meet someone who is a stranger, remember that you once were lost, separated from God, but in God's mercy, you were welcomed into the family of God. Invite them in. Next time you meet someone who's needing clothes, remember you have been clothed with Christ. When God looks at you, God sees Christ's righteousness, not your own. Clothe them. Remember next time you see someone who is sick. Remember all those times that God has been for you when you've been ill and needed help. Look after them. So next time you meet or hear someone in prison, remember, we each were once imprisoned by some specific sin, but Christ has set us free. Let's visit them. Remember the mercy and the love and the grace of God. And that's why we give thanks. We give thanks this last Thanksgiving for this that we have received for Christ. We give thanks for the care that we have received. We give thanks for the food, the drink, the friend, the clothes, the health, and the freedom from bondage. And we share this by giving others an opportunity to give thanks as well. Let us now stand and sing, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.